That is kind of fun. I really enjoyed January 11th, 2011, and so now I'm looking forward to February 22nd and February 22nd of 2022. It'll be fun. All right, deep breaths. Sorry about Friday. As you know, I usually have to do a recorded show because there's meetings running over the 1900 time slot. And well, yeah, that anyway, I was unable to record because I was stuck in meetings all day because I had to explain to people that without electricity, servers don't run. And so, anyway, such is life. I'm joining up into comm. You can too. All you have to do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you're cool or you want to experience load balancing, just use tty.sdf and just type comm, COM, and then press G for go to, and then type anon radio. You'll see a cool ASCII art anon radio and a list of the people in the room. Ta-da! You are there. We got cool people like Northern Lights, Harry Larry, and Ratsu, as well as a lot of other people that are in the room, maybe or maybe not listening, but Adam D, Bluegill, Jazzmaz, Hard Mouse, awesome DJ, gotta listen to him, JWH, M Stoney, and yeah, that's everybody. So heck yeah. Whoop, there we go. Howdy. Okay, let me go ahead here and launch the magic of the bookmarks. And we'll get into the news. We got 16 stories, hopefully, we can crank out here today. So, we start the way we always start, with the world news.
World news.
Hey, X1, welcome! All right, let's get going.
World news.
All right, we start with Africa, because I like to cover African news since it doesn't get covered a whole lot. First up, talk about from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Italy's ambassador to the Congo, his bodyguard, and a driver from the World Food Program were killed on Monday when the convoy was attacked in the east of the country, Italy and the United Nations said. The convoy was attacked at 10:15 a.m. or 08:15 GMT in an attempted kidnap near the town of Kanyamoro, about 25 kilometers north of the regional capital of Gamoa. The deaths of the ambassador, Luca Attanasio, 43, Italian military policeman Vittorio Iacovacci, 30, and Congolese driver, whose name has not been released, were confirmed by the Italian government in the statement. The driver was working for the UN World Food Program, it said in a statement, adding that a number of other passengers were injured. Dozens of armed groups operating in and around Virunga, where it lies along Congo's border with Rwanda and Uganda. Park rangers have been repeatedly attacked, and six were killed in an ambush last month. The governor of North Kivu Province, Carly Nzanzu Kasavita, told Reuters the assailants stopped the convoy by firing warning shots. They killed the driver and were leading the others into the forest when park rangers opened fire. The attackers killed the bodyguard, and the ambassador also died. So, spokesman Oliver Mukisa said that there were no indicators yet of who was behind the attack, nor was there any immediate claim of responsibility. So, good luck. I hope that they are able to figure that out and find some peace there. It's always a surprise when UN forces get attacked, because they're usually there trying to promote peace. Ah, this is off of Reuters, and there's a slideshow, but I was interested to see because there's two motorbikes in the photo. And both people, the operator of the motorbike has a helmet, and then they're carrying multiple passengers. And it's unusual because here I normally don't see passengers on motorcycles. So, anyway, pretty neat. Okay, let's keep up with the news. Stop looking at pictures of motorcycles. This is from Guinea. Guinean authorities are in a race against time to limit the spread of an Ebola outbreak after several infections of the deadly disease were detected in the country's far southern region last week. The West African country declared an Ebola epidemic on February 14th, 2 weeks after the sick attended the funeral of a nurse in the city of Goyeki, and later showed symptoms of the disease including fever, diarrhea, and vomiting. Among the confirmed and suspected cases, the nurse, five of her family members, and a traditional healer she had consulted. Five have died, and two are currently being treated in isolation. No sidecars, Northern Lights, in that photo I saw. But they had one person in front and one person in back. Guineans, despite a ban on gatherings of more than five people, including weddings and weekly markets, people in Guayaquil appeared skeptical of government directives and the resurgence of a disease which killed some 2,500 Guineans during an earlier pandemic that ripped through West Africa between 2014 and 2016. "We are not afraid and we are not worried," said Paul Lama, who was among the residents who defied the ban and turned out at Guayaquil's weekly market on Saturday. "We know that God is with us. If authorities want to lie to get their partners money, they shouldn't say that. But as far as we're concerned, there is no Ebola." Echoing his sentiments, Fatoma Daibate, a red oil seller from Nzeroke, said containment measures announced by the government posed a threat to people already struggling to survive. So, it was very surprising there. Anyway, this is just sad. It's interesting because this kind of sentiment is the same thing that we hear about COVID-19 in the U.S. and in a lot of the Western world. So, anyway, found that to be an interesting similarity. And the cover photo for this is a booth where there are healthcare workers, and the big sign says, "Ebola is real. Get the Ebola facts. Protect yourself and your family." And so I found that to be, it's interesting that you have to convince people that diseases are real still in this day and age, but such is life. Now we go down to Uganda, and we've been following the Ugandan presidential election for many months now. And opposition leader Bobi Wine said on Monday he was dropping a legal challenge to Uganda's presidential election results that handed victory to Yoweri Museveni, saying Supreme Court justices hearing the case were biased. Museveni is a former guerrilla leader who has led the country since 1986, and when he was declared winner of a January 14th election with January 1986 he became the leader. The election was January 14th, where he won with 59% of the vote. Wine is a pop star and lawmaker whose real name is Robert Kyagulanyi, has rejected the results and said he believed victory was stolen from him. He asked the court to overturn the results on several grounds, including widespread use of violence. "We've decided to withdraw from their court," Wine told a news conference in the capital city of Kampala. "The courts are not independent. It is clear these people are working for Mr. Museveni." So, I think that kind of says it all. But I hope he's no longer under duress by the police and by the government. They were his house was under siege for many, many weeks. All right. Well, let's keep on a rolling.
World news.
Okay, let's go over to Myanmar. Hundreds of thousands of protesters have taken the street of Myanmar in one of the largest demonstrations yet against the country's military coup. Businesses closed as employees joined a general strike, despite a military statement that said protesters were risking their lives by turning out. The statement prompted fears the protests could turn violent, but they remained peaceful throughout Monday. Myanmar has seen weeks of protests following the coup on February 1st. Military leaders overthrew Aung San Suu Kyi's... I think it's supposed to be Chi. I've been saying Ki. Sorry, I'm terrible. Elected government and have placed her under house arrest, charging her with possessing illegal walkie-talkies and violating the country's natural disaster law. Protesters are demanding an end to the military-style rule, along with senior members... Oh, and they want Ms. Sansu released, along with senior members of her National League for Democracy Party. "We don't want the junta. We want democracy. We want to create our own future," one protester, Hetet Hlang, told Reuters news agency in Yangon. So this is going quite viral. There are huge rallies and lots of signs. Everyone is standing together against, or at least the people seem to be speaking very loudly that they don't want the military in charge. So good luck there. They keep messing stuff up. So hope they don't get killed. Alright, less bloody stuff, more political intrigue stuff. You ready? Alright, like to hear it, here it go. Sweden charges man with spying for Russia. Sweden's charged a 47-year-old man with spying for Russia by selling information for several years to a Russian diplomat. Prosecutor Mats Lundqvist said in a statement on Monday that the unidentified man had worked as a consultant at several Swedish companies where he had illegally obtained and sold information, placing the country's security at risk. While a consultant at his former workplaces, I allege that he obtained material with the purpose of providing information to a foreign power, in this case Russia, said Lundqvist. The man was apprehended whilst meeting a Russian diplomat where he had just received 27,800 Swedish crowns, which is equivalent to $3,360, from the diplomat. The prosecution alleged that the man illegally transferred material from his work computer to his private computer and thereafter to USB sticks. To hide his activities from being logged, he also photographed material from the screen of his work computer. Lundqvist said the suspect could expect a lengthy sentence if convicted. In Sweden, the maximum penalty for espionage is 6 years. Hey, welcome, Tobe. Welcome. It reminds me, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts every single day at 19:30 UTC, so I hope you've been listening, and if not, you can start, jump in whenever you'd like. It is a super fun show, and you can pick up any day of the week, and you'll get caught up pretty quick. Faster than a 1986 mom getting home and looking for a shiny, greasy mess. So this guy has been charged with spying, which is new. Anyway, it's a spy story. Maybe they'll make a movie out of it. Alright, now let's jump over to Iran. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said on Monday Iran might enrich uranium up to 60% purity if the country needed it and would never yield to U.S. pressure over its nuclear activity. Iran's 2015 nuclear deal with six powers, which it has been breaching since the United States withdrew in 2018, caps the fissile purity to which Tehran can refine uranium at 3.67%, well under the 20% achieved before the agreement and far below the 90% suitable for a nuclear weapon. Iran's uranium enrichment level will not be limited to 20%. We will increase it to whatever level the country needs. We may increase it to 60%. The TV quoted Khamenei as saying, upping the ante in a standoff with U.S. President Joe Biden's administration over the future of the fraying deal. Americans and the European parties to the deal have used unjust language against Iran. Iran will not yield to pressure. Our stance will not change. The Biden administration said last week it was ready to talk to Iran about both nations returning the 2015 accord abandoned by former President Donald Trump. Iran has resumed enriching to 20% in an apparent bid to heat pressure on the U.S. and has been at loggerheads with Washington over which side should take the initial step to revive the accord. Oh man. Calm is fun, but sometimes your cat walks across the keyboard, and then you get a wall of text. Anyway, Calm is always so much fun. Thank you guys for being there. Thanks for participating in the show. Super fun times. Indeed. Alright, well let's go. We're almost at the halfway mark, which means it's going to be time for a song. But before we do that, let's run through the last few international headlines. First, the WHO chief, the World Health Organization chief, urges rich nations not to undermine the COVAX scheme. Wealthy countries' deals with vaccine manufacturers led to reduction in amount of vaccines allocated to COVAX, WHO's head says. And this is basically the COVAX scheme is this idea to go ahead and get vaccines to these less fortunate countries, but the rich countries keep buying them up. So that's one of the things there. BBC's reporting, Australian Open fans criticized for booing vaccine. Australia's Deputy Prime Minister has condemned the disgusting behavior of some Australian Open tennis fans who loudly booed mention of the country's COVID-19 vaccine rollout. The booing happened during an awards ceremony after the men's final, when a tennis official referred to global vaccine efforts as a sign of optimism. So Australia's not happy about vaccines. And if we go to Iran, Iran's lawmakers calling for president's prosecution over IAEA, that's India Alpha Echo Alpha, hardline Iranian lawmakers say an agreement reached recently between the government and the UN's nuclear watchdog is illegal, and the president must be punished for it. As we know, all things nuclear, hot topic, almost call him radioactive, for sure. Publius, whenever he's around, he's a super fan of atomic energy and atomic power. Super fun to talk to him about it. So if you're in comm and you see him, that's something to talk about. Definitely. Really cool stuff. All right. Well, that does it for those headlines. It's time for a song. You know, you get kind of grumpy. It's time to, you know, just relax a little bit. Chill out, you know. Take a load off. Let's see if I've got that song. Do, 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 down. Let's see. What's the proper name of that song? Well, I don't have that song. So, instead, we're going to... Which song is shorter? Boop. Oh, perfect. We're going to play a song by... Oh, here it is. It's called The Wait from The Band. And... it's a little long, so we're going to probably cut it short. But anyway, I think this is the song I'm thinking about. If not, either way, hope you enjoy it.
Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is right. That was The Wait by The Band. And, oh man, it's a great song. It's about 5 minutes long, though, so we had to cut it short. There is still so much happening in the world. I encourage you to always just check out different news sources. Try and find balanced news where you can. Life is good. Want a big shout out and thank you to SDF for powering Anon Radio, and thanks everybody for listening. Stay tuned afterwards. We got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe every day at 19:30 UTC, and check out anonradio.net for the rest of the schedule. Today is Monday. I think today's Monday. Days don't really matter that much now that everything's all wild. But I think it's today. So, yeah, it's Monday. Hooray! Thank you, calendar. So we got the Mix Remix with Harry Larry at 2000 through to, 2200. So stick around, listen to that. It's always a good time. All right, let's finish up. We got about 8 minutes and some change before it all comes screeching to a halt, and we jump into the Dubious Goals Committee. So let's start off with something that I think is cool.
This is time for tech news.
We got some tech news, baby. First up, Chinese spyware code was copied from America's NSA. Look at that. Sharing code. That's good. It's important to apply principles of reuse and reduce, you want to reuse code as much as possible, reduce any overhead. Well, here we go. Chinese spies use code first developed by the U.S. National Security Agency to support their hacking operations, Israeli researchers said on Monday. Another indication of how malicious software developed by governments can boomerang against their creators. Tel Aviv-based Checkpoint Software Technologies issued a report noting that some features in a piece of China-linked malware it dubs Qian were so similar they could only have been stolen from some of the National Security Agency break-in tools leaked to the internet in 2017. Yaniv Balmas, Checkpoint's head of research, called Qian kind of a copycat, a Chinese replica. The find comes as some experts argue that American spies should devote more energy to fixing the flaws they find in software instead of developing and deploying malicious software to exploit it. Yeah, right. The NSA declined to comment. The Chinese embassy in Washington did not respond to requests for comment. A person familiar with the matter said Lockheed Martin Corp., which is credited as having identified the vulnerability exploited by Qian in 2017, discovered it on the network of an unidentified third party. In a statement, Lockheed said it routinely evaluates third-party software and technology to identify vulnerabilities. So, it's very interesting. Balmas, who is Balmas? Sorry, I was jumping through the story. Yaniv Balmas is the head of research, and to wrap it up, he said, a possible takeaway from his company's report was for spy masters weighing whether to keep software flaws secret to think twice about using a vulnerability for their own ends. Maybe it's important to patch this thing and save the world, Balmas said. It might be used against you. So, that is what's going on there. And an entire school board resigns after accidental public live stream. Oh yeah, that happened. An entire California school board has resigned after making disparaging remarks about families in an online meeting, which they did not realize was being publicly live-streamed. They want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back, one member said about parents. Another implied that parents wanted their children out of the house so they could take drugs during the day. Parents, however, had been joining the public call as it progressed. Uh-oh, said board member Kim Bede when she was told several minutes into the discussion. We have the meeting open to the public right now. The WebEx meeting immediately went into private status, but NBC Bay Area reporter Begad Shaban tweeted snippets afterwards for all to see. When the officials at Oakley Union Elementary School District thought they were meeting privately, they used profanity to insult and threaten parents upset by the district's prolonged school closures. And then they have a couple of videos of that going on. After board president Lisa Brizidine said parents outraged about COVID restrictions just wanted the school to act as babysitters, another member joked that some parents wanted to take drugs while their children weren't at home. So yeah, pretty funny. It's definitely one of those things that I think any of us who don't have kids aren't suffering as much whenever quarantine and schools are closed, because it's kind of just same old quarantine as ever. But a lot of times the U.S. our kind of economy depends on kids going to school for education, but it's really a place to put your kids, and then that way both parents can work, otherwise you can't make ends meet. So forcing kids to stay at home, I don't know if you guys remember back in the 80s, used to have those latchkey kid what were they, like PSAs or specials or whatever they're called, where it was like, hey, keep an eye out, look out. If you see a kid just getting locked up and left at home, tell somebody. So anyway, that's going on. Kind of sucks. All right, so this is leaving the tech space, but it's still about stocks and money, so I wanted to mention it here. Royal Caribbean advanced bookings rise with eye on vaccinations. So Royal Caribbean Group said on Monday it was seeing an uptick in future bookings following a disastrous year for the cruise operator as travel enthusiasts look to sail again at a time governments globally have started mass vaccinations. The company's shares are down 44% last year, soared 9% in morning trading, as Royal Caribbean said it recorded a 30% increase in new bookings since the beginning of the year when compared to November and December. Analysts have also tipped Royal Caribbean's and its peers Carnival Corp and Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings Ltd. to resume voyages gradually in the back half of the year after the pandemic triggered months-long halt. Now, after 11 months of pandemic, I think we all know that COVID fatigue is real. People are clamoring for the opportunity to experience outside their homes. And I'll just tell you anecdotally, here in Texas, or at least in Austin, man, after the power came back on and there was a chance to go to the grocery store and get food and water, man, that was quite crowded. Everybody and their mom was running around outside, and it seemed like a lot of people were getting together kind of celebrating that they weren't going to freeze to death, but they were not wearing masks and avoiding other precautions. So please, keep wearing your mask until they say it's okay. All right, we've got just a few minutes because bam, 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 let's go through a few domestic headlines for you. Got four of them. Let's fit them in. Drug-sniffing dog finds cereal frosted with $2.8 million of what? Cocaine, Jack. That's right. U.S. Customs agents discovered drugs on shipment of frosted cereal from South America that was headed to Hong Kong. U.S. Customs agents made a surprise discovery when a sniffer dog investigated what looked to be a perfectly innocent shipment of frosted cereal, only to discover that the sugar coating was in fact a large amount of cocaine. The Cincinnati Inquirer reported that Biko, a narcotic detector dog with U.S. Customs, they named the dog in the story, uncovered the haul of drugs and a shipment of breakfast cereal from South America that was headed to Hong Kong. So, what a trip. Pretty funny. Texas weather. So this is local news for me. Texas weather. Family of 11-year-old filed lawsuit over his death. So the backstory: this kid is 11 years old. The family had never seen snow. They went out and played in the snow, and then went inside and went to sleep. There was no power. So and the little kid didn't wake up. He died. The family of the 11-year-old who died has filed a $100 million or £71 million lawsuit against power companies for negligence. He's found unresponsive by his mother in their mobile home last week amid freezing temperatures. Millions were left without power in unusually cold weather, which killed dozens in southern states. So there's an autopsy to find out what's happening there. And police drop charge against black man arrested for walking home. Yeah, and thing add that to things that you can't do as a black person in the United States. This is really sad news, but a misdemeanor charge has been dropped against a black man who was arrested last week for walking home on a street during a snowstorm in Texas. Rodney Reese, 18, was arrested on 16th of February in Plano and charged with being a pedestrian in the roadway. Police said officers received a call about a black man seen stumbling along in the middle of the snowy street. So, yep. Anyway, that's all the time we got. Thanks for listening. Check out the Dubious Goals Committee next.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
7, 6.